Burton at an insurance conference as the solution to climate change for corporations, for corporate CEOs. They basically keep a corporate CEO safe under any climate change circumstance so that they can keep turning a profit even under terrible conditions for everybody else.
Fascinating. Wow.
You know, it's true.
Well, I have one last clip because you got to head out of here in just a few minutes. But again, please keep those phone lines ringing, 212-209-2950. Support WBAI. Support Off the Hook. Support the Yes Men. And get something really cool in exchange. $75 pledge, you'll get the DVD. $125, you'll get a lot of DVDs and all kinds of other fun things as well. 212-209-2950. And here is the final clip from The Yes Men Are Revolting.
Dave Farrell from The Washington Post. Is there a sense from you guys that this is an inevitable thing and so you should get in to try to make it?
Okay, I'm Eric Wolfslagle. I'm with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. This is not an official U.S. Chamber of Commerce event. I don't know what pretenses you're here, but this is a fraudulent press activity and a stunt.
Who are you really, sir?
Do you have a business card? Are you with the U.S. Chamber?
I do.
Can I see your business card?
Can I see yours?
Are you here representing the U.S. Chamber of Commerce?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, I work there, and you do not look familiar to me at all.
Could I see your business
card? Is
this a stunt? Are you interrupting us?
Yes, I am. This guy does not represent the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Can we finish the game today?
No.
If you would like to have a press conference, you can have your own press conference.
What is your position?
I just spoke my position.
What is your official title with the U.S. Chamber of
Commerce? I'm the assistant to Mr. Donahue.
Okay. This guy is a fraud. He's lying. This is, you know, a stunt that I've never seen before. So if you'd like to actually talk to the legitimate Chamber of Commerce, I've got my business cards outside. This gentleman, I will assure you, does not have any business cards, and he's not legitimate.
Show me your business card. No, show me yours.
Yeah, they both look like imposters.
You got a business card?
It's so weird, though. But
you don't look familiar.
Actually, this sign-in sheet here.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, sir. We have rented this room.
Yes.
You're going to have to refund us.
Fraudulently. It's fraud. It's illegal.
Sir.
All right, so the U.S. Chamber's denying it now. All right, so maybe not.
Okay, those are anchor people from a news station.
Yeah, the guy at the end who says maybe not had earlier announced that the U.S. Chamber was changing position and calling for a carbon tax.
So clearly, nobody knew what was going on. It was massive confusion.
Yeah,
and wow, and you just basically the guy came in to challenge you guys.
Yeah,
and you just turned the tables on him and challenged him and made it seem like he was the one that didn't belong there.
I mean, really. His barging in was just the best piece of luck we could have possibly had. I mean, we were going to get some attention, but we just got a day heavy rotation on all the networks, all the biggest shows, because it was just so funny that this guy with a pencil behind his ear barges into this press conference and there's this confrontation. And, you know, the media like to laugh, even the corporate media, even the, you know, Fox News types. They gobble up anything with a punchline that's funny. Well, maybe not Fox News, but all the rest, MSNBC, let's say, and CNN. They, you know, and they're owned by big corporations, but their bread and butter is, you know, making people laugh. So sometimes we can do that.
Wow.
Or making people afraid, and we don't want to do that.
Bernie, you've been quiet. Anything you'd like to add to this?
I was just splitting a guy listening to this, Emmanuel. It was great. It was just like they made it so much better by calling you a fraud, and you made him look like a fraud for calling you a fraud, and it just became this whole circular argument that generated so much more publicity. So kudos for pulling off like the best social engineering judo I ever seen.
Well, it was an accident. It was really an accident. We sent out a press advisory beforehand and simultaneously launched a virtual sit-in of the phone lines of the Chamber of Commerce so nobody could get through. We had people call in so that nobody could actually get through. But one of the reporters who received our press advisory didn't even look at where the press conference was going to be. It said National Press Club, but she just assumed that it would be at the Chamber of Commerce, since it's the Chamber of Commerce, and they have conference rooms, obviously. So she just went to the Chamber of Commerce looking for the press conference, which was reasonable, and, you know, that's how that guy got tipped off. the head of PR and came barging in 2 hours.
You know. That guy's reaction just encapsulates why what you do is so effective and how you do it, because as he's tripping over his words, this is a fraudulent press event. Like, it's not even, there isn't the vocabulary in this world for something like you were doing. It's just, we've got the system of people put out press releases, people put out press conferences, press consumes them, and this is just so accepted that nobody really thinks to question any of it. And so the fact that you guys did is just so strange and unexpected, and it just really throws a monkey wrench in things.
Oh, thanks.
You know, polar bears are beyond my procurement abilities, but business cards, you can get them free online.
Yeah. Not so hard, really. You could get them. It was a bit befuddling that it was because of the business cards that he thought that he had unmasked us. I actually, weirdly, did have business cards on me that said so-and-so from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, but I was kind of embarrassed because they weren't very good. So that's actually why I didn't pull them out and show them to him.
Well, imagine if you had, you know, if you had business cards that were convincing.
Yeah.
What would his reaction have been then?
But it would have just opened you up for scrutiny. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're right. Okay. You're right. That I was going to say exactly that. Yeah.
It's great.
All right. Well, Andy, I want to thank you so much for being a part of this and for helping us out here at at the radio station.
No, thank you guys for helping us out. I mean, we depend on WBAI, and you know, if it weren't for you, we wouldn't have a place to, you know, actually talk about the issues. So we've gotten a lot of attention from a lot of people at WBAI for a very long time, and it's the best coverage we've gotten. So,
well, that's good to hear. And you out there listening to this, if you've gained anything from, or inspiration, or just had a good laugh listening to some of the things that Andy and friends have been up to, please support that, because by supporting WBAI, you are supporting that kind of creativity and free expression, and providing a forum for it to be discussed and shared. 212-209-2950. Again, we have lots and lots of premiums. It's not about the premiums. We're offering some really cool things tonight, but what it's really about is making that phone call and supporting this radio station. 212-209-2950. We have the $75 level with the Yes Men Are Revolting DVD. We have the $125 level with that DVD plus two others and some newspapers and playing cards. 212-209-2950. It doesn't matter which premium package you choose. The important thing is that you make the phone call and support WBAI so that we can keep talking about things like this and all sorts of other things that will come down the road in the future. We can never predict what's going to happen next. But I do know that whatever does happen, it's great to have a radio station like WBAI to get the word out. And that's something that I think people don't realize until it's too late. Yeah. And many places, it has been too late. Community radio stations have gone under because of expenses, because of lack of listener support, and or mismanagement, all kinds of reasons. But we hope to keep this place going, and so far we've been going since 1960. I think we're the longest established format, which is no format, of any radio station here in New York. I really do. You can't pick a station that has not either moved its frequency or changed its format in that period of time. Wow. And that says something. That says something about listeners. It says something about freedom of speech, about how powerful that is.
Yeah.
So you can join that. 212-209-2950. Takes a couple of minutes. We take credit cards. You can pay by the month if you want. There's all sorts of possibilities. The important thing, though, is that you make the call, because this is the time that we are asking for support.
Yeah. Radio stations like BAI are really one of the backbones of the movement that is making enormous change and has for a very long time. And we're in the middle of a movement, of course. You know, things are going to change dramatically. It started with Occupy Wall Street and the movements around that time elsewhere as well. And it's, you know, continues and it's building and it'll come and go in the media. But it's because of the constant attention to this movement that's paid by WBAI that's one of the reasons it keeps going. So it's incredibly important to keep it going.
It all ties together, and we see that week after week with whatever topic we're discussing, wow, this has a relation to the hacker world or to the freedom of speech world, to the radio world. It all kind of is the same, you know. We're all fighting the same battles and sharing the experiences and getting stronger as a result.
Yep.
And this is a perfect example of how we can all get stronger by keeping this radio station on the air. 212-209-2950. please make that call now.
I just wanted to reiterate, and we haven't emphasized this enough, and I would just say that this is a very formative time for the station. We are in a new space. There's a lot of building and rebuilding that has yet to go on here. And there's a lot of work parties probably and volunteers and just a lot of the equipment from the previous location that's not even here, not yet out of storage. And just even looking at the space, how we're going to approach designing new studios and production studios for producers, it's all going to take a lot of work. So this is it. This is the beginning here. Second week for us here. Last week was our first week. We're excited. It's an adjustment for certain, and definitely on the technical side, the station is being reborn, and your pledge goes to support the regular donation cycle and needs here, but especially now we'll go to tangible things like build out and furniture and the real stuff that's going to set us up with a good foundation.
It's amazing to see it develop, but it's developing because of you, the listener. There's no other reason. We don't take, this is a little known fact, well, it's a known fact around here, but it might not be as known out there. We don't take underwriting, and underwriting is a huge source of income, but the reason we don't take underwriting is because it tends to compromise the programming. If imagine, Andy, if this particular program was underwritten by AT&T. You think that might cloud what we could talk about a little bit, you know? When we're talking about various evil things they're up to, or just potential evil things they're up to.
Totally.
Or just, you know, maybe they don't want us to talk about technology at all. You know, we have to, they're the bread and butter. They're the money that's coming in. You got to pay attention to that.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I should mention before I go to is the Action Switchboard, speaking of AT&T and telephone networks.
See how easy it is? Yeah.
We have this platform called the Action Switchboard, which is about basically going after corporations and anyone who you feel is doing something really bad through creative direct action. And it's a platform we've made to help you if you have an idea or if you want to work with people on an idea and crowdfund and crowdsource for those actions. We wouldn't be able to talk about that platform, for example, if AT&T were funding this program, I think.
Yeah, and so because we don't do that, because we don't have underwriting here at WBAI New York, it's 8:06, and Personal Computer Show is not on this week. It will be on next week. But because we do not have underwriting here at WBAI, that closes off a huge source of potential funding. But it's because of idealistic reasons we don't do it. And sometimes you pay dearly for idealism, as I think we all know. But if listeners are there to back us up, to support us, to say, yes, this is what we want, this is the kind of radio that we will pledge for, then it's more than worth it, more than worth sacracificing that.
Yeah, it's a bargain.
212-209-2950.
You paid more dearly for not having idealism. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in the end you do. Andy, you got to go, right?
Yeah.
We're gonna go out with the promo again. We're going to play the promo because we do want to get people to call in, and we want to get them enthused about the film. And hopefully you'll be back again before the film comes out, and we can talk more specifically about that event.
Yep.
A lot of fun things happening. But yeah. I got to thank you because you're a true inspiration.
Same to you.
Thank you. So many people, though, are engaging in mischief now after seeing something the Yes Men did. And I'm sure parents everywhere are cursing your name, but in the end, we will be a stronger society for this, and hopefully there'll be Yes Men affiliates all throughout the planet.
Yeah.
All right.
And WBAI will be part of making that.
I think we are. I think we're a Yes Men affiliate right here.
Definitely.
212-209-2950. You can become a Yes Men affiliate yourself just by pledging. Yes, we will officially knight you with that particular title. If you give us a call, 212-209-2950. Again, $75 pledge, you will get the brand new Yes Men, Our Revolting film on DVD, autographed by both Yes Men. For a pledge of $125, you'll get that plus two other films, also autographed. You'll get the newspapers, which I believe are autographed as well. A lot of autographs here. And you will get the playing cards, which I actually have never seen, so I'm going to be interested in that myself. 212-209-2950. Any last words on this from you, Bernie?
I just would encourage our listeners to call and support this kind of programming on WBAI. It's This is not the kind of thing you're hearing on any commercial radio station. If you like what you're hearing, please call 212-209-2950.
Okay. Last words, Andy, before you head out?
Oh, keep it up.
Got the limo waiting downstairs?
Yeah, of course.
Three guy limos. Comes in a stretch limo and has bodyguards all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way I see my bicycle. Uh-huh.
Wow. And again, thanks. And we look forward to future projects, seeing you at Hope in the future, yeah. And just seeing you on the BBC maybe, yeah, and whatever happens. All right, we're gonna go out with a promo, and we'll be back with another hour of Off the Hook right after that. Stay tuned.
So what's your answer?
My name is Dick Impala. I'm with Environment Canada.
You don't really work for Environment Canada, do you?
Uganda.
Here, a flooded drought means people die.
Young people are aiming to overthrow the U.S. financial system.
Get the ball! Get the ball!
We've been working with the Yes Men.
The Yes Men?
The Yes Men.
They're an activist group of pranksters.
So go towards the machine gun and then left and you'll be at the U.N. Everything will be fine.
It's not the way most people protest, but it's our way to say no to corporate greed.
I'm Eric Wolfslagle. I'm with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Are you here representing the U.S. Chamber of Commerce?
Yes, I am.
This guy is a fraud. He's lying. Can I see your business card?
Can I see yours?
Scientists are telling us this is the last chance to make a stand.
This is Hurricane Sandy.
So what do we do?
How stupid is it not to address climate change? How stupid is it not to address climate change?
Ah! Keep going. We've got to be part of something bigger than ourselves.
I'm so nervous, even though I'm not doing anything.
Drilling in the Arctic? Let's go. We're pumped.
Sometimes things don't work out exactly right.
Leave now.
They're calling for a squad car.
No!
We have to get past them.
My God.
My head is going to be right up your ass. Oh, sorry.
Oh, right in the eye.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to WBAI. You're listening to Off the Hook here on our expanded time slot this Wednesday night. Again, the Personal Computer Show, not on this week. I believe they will be back next week, if not in 2 weeks for sure. 212-209-2950 is our phone number, and we will be offering the Yes Men premiums up until 9 o'clock. Beyond that, if they are available at give2wbai.org. Please don't type out the numeral 2 after the... Yeah, it's on, I know people take things literally sometimes. It's give the number 2. Don't type that either. Give to wbai.org. Just go there. You'll find it. And look for the Yes Men. Look for the Yes Men premiums, and you will find it that way as well. 212-209-2950, though, is the phone number to call if you want to support the radio station. And I would hope that everybody listening does want to support the radio station. What do you guys think of that? Bernie, any reflections and thoughts on the Yes Men?
That was a lot of fun. It says a lot about WBAI that the Yes Men would come on this show, on this station, to really over the mission of the station and what it does. I'm kind of inspired. I think they're kind of celebrities, and this is just what we do. This is what the station is all about. WBAI is a social protest, informing people about things, having fun doing that. And it's great. So, you know, even if you don't want to pledge for a premium, it's worth calling here just to support the station at 212-209-2950.
Yeah, and I would also like to point out that we still have available our some copies of our books from last week that we were offering. So for a pledge of $55, you could get a copy of either Teach Your Kids to Code or Beautiful Lego, both books which we talked about last week. Or for a pledge of $75, you could get a package of both of those books. Also, of course, today you can get the Yes Men DVD for that $75 pledge, or you could get the extended Yes Men package for a pledge of $125. All excellent choices, all of which help keep this show on the air, the station on the air, and things right on this planet.
212-209-2950. So we have a plethora of things to choose from, and we hope people take advantage of that.
I mean, I'm not very good at capitalism. I'm sort of okay at math, but $125, not only do you keep WBAI on the air, which is really, frankly, the only important thing, but you get three films of the S-Men, including their brand new one that you can't get on DVD in many other places. You get, two newspapers, which we were calling fake newspapers, but frankly, they're realer than the real newspapers. And you get the playing cards. That is just an incredible deal just from a purely what do I get for my money perspective. And when you consider on top of that, that you're not buying it, you're just giving WBAI money. All of your money goes to WBAI, keeps us on the air, keeps this program going, keeps the other programs like us going. I don't know why you would hesitate. 212-209-2950.
Alternately, if you would like to pledge for pledge in a bit of a different way, you could still become a BAI buddy, which is when you make a smaller monthly donation, it automatically gets charged to you every month, and you get a whole different set of benefits. You get a station premiums. You get a BAI membership if once your donations break the $25 mark, and you get all sorts of. Sort of perks and value to being a member of what goes on here if you're a BAI buddy.
212-209-2950 is our phone number. Please keep those calls coming in. Keep the radio station going. Bernie, you know, we're just going to talk about this for a little bit, but you're down there in Philadelphia, and of course the eyes of the world are on Philadelphia right now. Did you hear anything about that train wreck last night?
Yeah, actually I heard about it a police scanner I had on and went to, actually it was a streaming thing through my mobile phone. And, then I heard some sirens. So I, found out what was going on and raced up to the scene, which is only just a couple miles from my house here in Philadelphia. And I got there before the barricades went up, and it was just, I've never seen anything like this in my life, Emmanuel, just about a half dozen Amtrak cars, just splayed off the tracks. One of them just looked like it had wrapped around a tree. The engine separated from the rest of the train. I think there were at least a half dozen people killed, unfortunately. A lot of people injured. Apparently the train was just going way too fast around a curve in the in a residential area near me here in Philadelphia. And it just resonated with me, because most of us here on this show have been on other passenger rail systems around the world, and they're designed for passenger rail systems. Amtrak rides on freight rail systems. They're not designed for passengers. You have to go slow, and it just breaks my heart that this country doesn't devote the resources necessary to safe and effective and affordable mass rail transportation. And it's just another example. I hope Congress sees this and decides to actually devote the necessary resources to improving our passenger rail system. What do you think?
Yeah, I it's just a way that we're missing out. Every time I think about this, Bernie, I'm right there with you. It's like we're missing out on what plenty of other nations have got right. Entire regions, right? Continents have figured this out, and it's still not a priority. We still have excuses, and I think mass transit, if there's anything to invest in, that should be number one. It's a basis for so much in so many people's lives, and when it isn't maintained and well designed from the start, you have things that are patched on, things sharing systems like you're saying, the freight systems, and they're just poorly implemented, and it makes me shake my head.
And this could have been a lot worse because the freight line was right there, the parking area for some tanker cars.
Yeah.
It missed the tankers by about 50 yards. If it had hit one of those cars, which were full, it would have been a much more of a disaster. But, you know, that particular curve, I don't know if you mentioned this, was the site of another accident, I think, 71 years ago. Not much has improved in that period of time. I mean, it was a different circumstance, but, you know, certainly we have the ability to have systems in place to tell you when something unsafe is going on. They're saying that the train was going 106 miles an hour as it went into that curb. First of all, I don't think that's even possible. I mean, if a train hit that curve at that speed, I think the cars would be so much further away than where they landed. But regardless, there are systems in place that will prevent that from happening, that will prevent a train from going that fast. And I heard on the radio on the way over here that they have those systems, but they just didn't have them there for whatever reason.
I don't want to disagree with what you're saying and with what other people are saying.
Of course you do. You live for this. Go ahead.
Okay,
go disagree.
For it,
yeah.
But no, I agree with what you said. I think it's important to invest in our rail infrastructure, and I think it's important to build out these new systems that are safer and faster and all around better. But I do also want to remind people that the other way, or one other way that people get between you know, Washington and Philly or New York, is to drive personal automobiles. And it is not even newsworthy when a few people die in a car collision. It is certainly not newsworthy when the fossil fuels that are used to run private cars cause climate change and direct deaths through asthma and stuff like that. So I don't want people to get the impression that rail is particularly dangerous or particularly unsafe. I think we can and should make it even safer and even less dangerous to the extent that those are different. But I don't want people to ignore the other dangers in other ways of getting around.
Yes. Well, yeah, I dare say, though, that if there was a car collision that sent 250 people to the hospital, that'd probably be on the news, too. You know, that I'm sure it would be.
Over the course of how often does this happen? Once a decade?
We had a train derailment right here months ago. We had a train collision. We had a Metro North train doing exactly the same thing, going around a curve too fast. You know, these are elementary problems where people don't know not to get in front of a train with their car. You know, the rest of the world has learned how to do it. Well, most of the world has learned how not to do that. And as far as just going too fast around curves, there's technology to prevent that from happening. Why aren't we using it? Makes absolutely no sense to me. But if there's any good that comes out of this, it's that this horrific crash resulted in relatively low number of fatalities. Still horrible, but if this was a plane, there wouldn't be any survivors. And that's something people need to remember, is that rail travel is fast and it is mostly safe. And when it's not safe, you can usually point the blame at lack of funding, lack of development, lack of maintenance. And I'm afraid that's what our infrastructure on many levels has become, just something that is not maintained. So I don't know. There's two ways that they can go on this. They can say, yeah, let's stop being idiots about it and let's start funding this like we mean it. Or they can somehow point the finger of blame and say, well, this proves that we can't have trains anymore. Maybe corporations should run them, which is really ridiculous and silly. What do you think, Bernie?
I think Mike is right. Passenger rail is remarkably safe compared to surprisingly so with the rickety systems we have. I'll never forget, years ago, a friend of mine from Switzerland was here in the U.S. at a radio conference, and we hung out in Philadelphia and we rode the Amtrak for a while, and he was looking like he was in panic. It's like, what's going on? What's going on? I said, what do you mean, what's going on? He said, the train is like rocking back and forth and make these noises, and I'm like, that's normal. He's like, our trains in Switzerland don't do that. he wasn't joking. He was really in a panic.
That's true.
Bernie.
Yeah.
Bernie, comparing anything to the Swiss train system is really unfair.
You're right.
But most train systems don't do that. And, you know, I always ask why. Why do you get slammed around when you're on a train in this country? What is so different about it? Why are our cars so rickety? You know, are we that poor that we can't invest in something like the rest of civilized nations are able to do? It's a question of priorities, and our priorities are just off.
My theory is that we still use rail and ties that are using, like, wood. And a lot of the modern systems and European systems I've seen, and dare I say, some of the track work that's being done out in this part of the world, mm-hmm. where you replace those with cement ties. And I think that that transition to a modern prefabricated tie system where it's cement and it's going to last for a long time, I think that's the transition that's occurring and needs to continue to occur to have a smoother ride, because I think those the old like wood railroad ties tend to go uneven or get kind of bumpy and or rot, and then you get the sort of unevenness, and especially in like complex sections of track and or underserved areas that haven't really been brought even up to that standard. They haven't had their ties replaced, in other words, very recently. But I think that's the kind of change that needs to happen, is that a lot of our rail needs to be strengthened and needs to be updated from that technology
and expanded. You know, we can't even get past the point where we agree that rails are good things, that trains are important. You know, Congress will fight this and say we have to cut all the funding and make it ridiculously inefficient and just pour all the money into automobiles and the airline industry. It's, you know, it doesn't have to be a choice either. When we were riding around in Germany, we noticed how many people drive cars and take the train. You can have both. And they are really in love with cars in Germany, but they have amazing trains. They complain about their trains all the time, but come on, they are amazing trains. We rode the slow trains, the suburban trains, as just kind of an alternative to try something else. And even they're faster than our so-called high-speed trains. So it's just ridiculous.
I mean, it's because they're right next to Switzerland. And they have an inferior complex.
Well,
but by any other standard, you know, they do pretty well.
I actually agree with that, because I do think healthy competition among countries, and for this country, I would say among states, I think that is a big part of it. Because if, you know, the French are like saying, oh, you're sloughing, your rail system is not on time, all of this, like, you get you know, run through the keyhole. Like, perception is that your country is lagging behind. And when you have an integrated network like in the EU, or like we could have here, with many states maybe competing to not be the worst section of rail. And I think you need more of that.
The closest thing we have are French Canadians. Maybe they can say that to us, but they still have to build up their own network anyway and have a nice high speed rail up there, or Mexico, or one neighboring country to us that can make us feel terrible about us not doing it. You know, that would be nice.
Right. They try.
212-209-2950, by the way, is our pledge line. Please call up and show your support for the radio station while we continue our discussion here. I heard something on the news earlier. I was watching CNN. And, you know, one of the tragedies of this wreck is the fact that there are still apparently people missing. People that have not been heard from. They don't know where they are. Now, there's all kinds of theories as to why that is. But the theory that was presented on CNN and accepted was that, well, when the train was flying through the air, a lot of things were lost, including people's phones. So people out there might not have a way to contact people. They actually said this. They said this on, and nobody refuted them, that somebody could be walking around right now, they've lost their phone, so that means there's no way they can contact anybody. They can't find a payphone, which is probably true. They probably don't know their own phone number, so they can't call. But literally, that is how we're thinking now, that when you don't have your cell phone, you are completely disconnected, and there's no way for you to stay in touch. It's nonsense, but it's a step in the direction of making that a self-fulfilling prophecy, that, yeah, you lose your cell phone, you're completely cut off from everybody and everything, and you might as well just not be connected at all.
It doesn't take long for the anxiety to go away if you stop using your cell phone. You just it's a mental shift. I think you just have to do that work in your head, let go of it, and be okay without the device.
See,
it is possible.
I don't think that's what happened in this case, but I think the fact that we believe that is a likely scenario, you know, when the media says something like that,
it
just shows how absurd it's gotten, that this could actually be entertained as realistic.
I think you're reading an awful lot into, like, some idiot on CNN having to fill time and not knowing what they're talking about.
It was
about
the main anchor, and nobody refuted them. The reason that we weren't hearing from people, because they were wandering around without a cell phone, and they had no way of reaching anybody. This was the report. It wasn't one, you know, one correspondent saying something, and it was, this was their conclusion, and it was repeated.
Not even an off the cuff solution to maybe suggest, ask a friend to call if you need to use one.
Bernie, any thoughts on this?
It's hard not to laugh about all this, but frankly, it's a serious situation, when anyone is killed or injured. But frankly, when these trains crashed, a lot of people, they just ran away. They ran out of the cars. They crawled out the windows. They crawled out the back of the train cars. And, there were volunteers taking them to the nearest hospital or to, there was an elementary school nearby that was set up as an emergency place. And I could see in all the chaos, people not getting in touch with other folks, especially
because they're in shock, because they're traumatized. Yes, that's realistic. But to say because they don't have their cell phone, they can't reach their family and friends, that's absurd.
Yeah, this happened less than 24 hours ago. And just because the family and friends know that they're safe doesn't mean that CNN knows they're safe or some master database knows they're safe. This will all settle out in the end, and everybody will be accounted for. But I think CNN's explanation is kind of ludicrous. Well,
Speaking of master databases, I'm worried that that's what this is going to lead to, where people say, you can't just get on a train and nobody knows if you're on it or not because they haven't taken your ticket yet and they haven't taken your name at all. And I'm worried that some short-sighted people might say, well, the solution is to just simply log everybody as they get on, like on an airplane. And that's missing the point entirely.
One interesting thing about this story is that people were on the train using their electronic devices, and when the accident happened, people who were crawling from the rubble and things, they were tweeting about it. People were tweeting or Facebooking or otherwise posting the I'm okay messages, photos and reports from what was happening. One of the people on this train was Jillian Jorgensen, who's the senior editor for politics at the New York Observer, and she herself, being a journalist, started tweeting things, details about what was going on as a journalist. And she then soon after she started doing that, she then tweeted, "I'm a member of the media, and I feel like I need a media consultant. I've gotten around 30 calls, and I now know how overwhelming it is." And now in her Twitter bio, it says, "Senior editor for politics at the New York Observer. Yes, I was on the train. No, I don't want to appear on camera." Like, just the flow of information is just so weird coming out of these things now with people using social media and using the internet to get the word out, but then suddenly finding themselves at the center of things like this.
Well, you can always turn those things off, and I think a lot of us forget that we can do that. You don't have to read every tweet that's aimed at you. You don't have to be on Instagram all the time. You don't have to respond to every Facebook post. But being able to communicate and being able to take control of your own destiny, I think that's what's important, and that's what we talk about here on this particular program and various other forums. Moving on, though, to other stories in the news. This was something that I thought was particularly disturbing. Cybersecurity firm may have hacked its own clients to extort them. First of all, the use of the word hack everywhere it's gotten to the point of total absurdity now, and I think we'll be demonstrating that. In this particular case, this cybersecurity firm, known as Tyversa, they're still operating, by the way, in case you're interested in having an adventure. They offered up digital security services to other companies. Now, according to a whistleblower who worked there and is now testifying in federal court, Tyversa was running a very simple and clever scam. They basically gained access, in this particular case, of LabMD, they're a medical testing company based in Atlanta. They gained access to the lab's medical files, which, since they were a client of theirs, they had access to in the first place. They told LabMD there had been a data breach using the files as evidence that, yes, look, there's been a data breach. Then, according to this article in Gizmodo, they then straight up extorted LabMD when the lab wouldn't pay for additional incident response services. Tyversa told the company it would then tell the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, about the hack. And then it did. Things got even worse. The FTC, thinking the hack was real, went after LabMD, which ended up in a long legal battle, and ultimately they had to shut down. And it was basically the end of them. Well, now this whistleblower has come forward, and things could get a whole lot worse for Tyversa. They basically are being accused now of doing this for about 100 different companies. They're not sure how many of these alleged data intrusions were fake, but it's a story that's going to continue for quite a while to come. Again, misuse of the word hack. If this did happen, this company simply cheated their customers. Hackers don't have any kind of exclusive on that particular way of doing business.
I mean, yeah, this sort of security industrial complex is really dangerous for a lot of reasons, and one of them is that there's no way to know, you know, that the entity you're trusting and doing business with is on the level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Bernie, anything from you?
Yeah, I was reading this story too, Emmanuel, and it says that LabMD wasn't the first time that this company, Tyversa, created these false hacks and made national news. It says back in 2009, Tyversa leaked a false story pointing to Iran for supposedly stealing blueprints for President Obama's helicopter, Marine One. And that bogus story led to several mainstream news media outlets, NBC, Fox News, CNET, and others, reporting this as fact. So, I would not be surprised if this is happening more often in the so-called cybersecurity industry, where there could be shakedowns and extortion and all kinds of shenanigans going on behind the scenes. Would that surprise you?
Well, it's an interesting parallel what you bring up. I mean, blaming Iran for everything is similar to blaming hackers for everything. It's basically this entity that people are afraid of, they don't understand. So no matter what happens, it's got to be either an Iranian or a hacker that's behind it, right? It's believable. It's what the media is going to run with. And God forbid it's an Iranian hacker. Who knows what will happen then? But on that particular note, Islamic State, they have hackers too. Yeah. This story came out in a news outlet called Vocative. They said the alleged Islamic State hackers, I guess they're from the Islamic State, but they're only alleged to be hackers. They released a video claiming success in a threat that they had made earlier in the week. I believe this was Monday. Yeah, they issued a message to America via Twitter. And seriously, they said hackers on other social media platforms promised something surprising that will frighten America. And, well, only a few hours later, that's exactly what happened. Star of 19 Kids and Counting, Jill Dugar, her Facebook account was hacked, and the fans were outraged. That's really the only thing I can find that they might have done that could have concerned anybody. This is the news that's being reported. It's amazing that Islamic State has hackers that are out to terrify Americans, and that this is treated with the same seriousness as massacres and bombings and things like that. God forbid your social media is going to be hacked. People are going to be sending out false tweets, and you won't have control over your webpage. The whole thing's incredibly silly.
Yeah, I'm sure the Islamic State also has plumbers to unclog their toilets, so we should be afraid of all the plumbers as well.
Yeah, maybe. Good luck selling that one. What else? We have this story on if your car can get hacked. With today's high-tech automobiles, is it possible your car could get hacked just like a computer or a smartphone? The short answer is yes. This is according to ABC. Consumer Reports got to experience a controlled hack by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration as it researched car security. The demonstration showed how one can be left helpless at the wheel with a laptop hardwired to the car. A hacker, because nobody else is going to do this, a hacker can take control of the horn, seatbelts, and even brakes and steering.
I mean, I don't know a lot about cars, but I feel like I would notice if there was someone in my car with a laptop wired in.
Well, yeah, okay. This was done for the purposes of the demonstration, but if cars are computers these days. Cars have computers all over them, and you wouldn't see the computer that was hardwired in this particular case. The point is that with Wi-Fi connections and ways that this can be accessed by remote parties, I guess what they're saying is that this is possible. This is possible when there isn't a laptop hardwired to the car, just with a car in general, especially cars of the future. Director of Consumer Reports says today's cars are basically computers on wheels. Computers control everything, the engine, the suspension, the seats, the mirrors, even the air conditioning. Someone could possibly do something nefarious to the vehicle, said Frank Barrickman with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. But Consumer Reports says there is no reason to panic. The benefits of these computers, they far outweigh the risks. It's not a reason to run out and buy a computer or a 20-year-old car. I disagree. I think it's a good reason to buy a 20-year-old car.
Wait, didn't we just, like, a few minutes ago advocate for putting more computers into train control systems?
Yeah, that's true. It's a fine balance. You need to be able to override these things, obviously. If you just trust a computer, you're going to have a situation where you're at the mercy of bad code instead of bad people.
Also, it behooves us to just be aware. I mean, there's this huge push now for what people like to call the Internet of Things, where your car is a computer, your phone is a computer, your refrigerator is a computer with a cold bit inside of it, and just every single thing is a computer, and every single thing has to be connected to the Internet and controllable via smartphone apps. And it behooves us to realize that, yes, in answers to questions like in this headline, if something is a computer, it might be vulnerable. Computer is vulnerable to, and to just expect things to not be so is a bit oblivious.
As long as humans are anywhere in the equation, and I think we usually are somewhere in the equation, there's a possibility for either incompetence or evil, and somebody could do something that could affect an automobile or an airplane or a train or whatever if they have access to code and can do something to it, or if they just don't know what they're doing and they write really bad routines that wind up in disaster.
I wonder if it also makes it harder, like, to gather evidence when something does happen. If it's just software, I mean, is there less things than someone maybe physically tampering with your vehicle, like leaving fingerprints and so on, or damaging your brakes or something? Mm-hmm. Cliches of Hollywood are just going to have to all be rewritten now.
Cliches. We'll have room for lots of them. It's just what bugs me is when people seem to think that technology is going to solve all the problems. And it can solve problems. It can make things a lot smoother. It can improve things. But, you know, if you're not paying attention and if you don't retain control, it can be a disaster. It can be a worse disaster than anything you've ever imagined. So, you know, I'm in the same breath reading this, I'm reading the automated Google cars and how, you know, they have accident reports over the last few years and they're not responsible for any of them. Great, you know, that's wonderful. But when these two stories meet and when somebody hacks into a computer, a car, and makes it do something it wasn't intended to and you can't override it, then it's going to be a very different story.
It ties in a little bit with the story, I think we were talking about it last week or the week before, about the baby monitors, that people were listening to baby monitors over the internet that weren't their own. And mm-hmm. it's just another example of these consequences of maybe, you know, we think something is progress and we think something is solving a problem, but is it just changing the shape of the problem or creating new problems? Is it something we really need as broadcast on the net to everyone?
Okay, moving on. This one takes the cake, I think. This is from a news organization known as Team 10. I think they're a 10news.com. They say they reached this conclusion. Hacking into someone's computer is illegal, but hiring someone else to do it isn't. Did you know this? I didn't know this. This is Team 10 in San Diego. And they claim, Team 10 exposed the dark web. They claim to have exposed the dark web. Thank you, Team 10, for that. Then Team 10 found out it isn't even a crime to hire a hacker from an illicit site. I did not know this. Under current law, it is illegal to hack into someone's computer or social media account without their knowledge or consent, but it is not illegal to hire someone else to do it for you. Assemblymember Ed Chow has introduced a bill that would make soliciting hackers a crime and could result in jail time of 1 year. The legislation has cleared the Assembly and will now go to the Senate. If the bill clears the Senate floor, it will then go to the governor. This is all in California. Yeah, this is just insane. I mean, really, how do they reach these conclusions? It's not illegal to hire somebody to do something ostensibly illegal. There's not a law that already covers this. It's just fear-mongering again.
I'm fairly certain that an even moderately competent prosecutor could get people under conspiracy laws for this sort of thing if the underlying activity is in fact illegal.
Yeah, because there are laws already that cover these things. You don't need new laws specifically aimed at computers or at hackers or anything like that. This is just 101.
I mean, I should actually point out that a moderately competent prosecutor could probably get anyone in trouble for almost anything. You don't even need to be doing harm to anyone or hiring hackers or whatever it is. But the specific case of hiring, I'm going to just use their word, hackers, seems pretty easy.
Bernie, any thoughts?
I agree with Mike. You could indict a ham sandwich, and almost anybody could be prosecuted under the phone book size volume. Can we even say phone book size? We don't even know what phone books look like anymore, half of us. There's just so many laws, nobody can know what they all are. There's an email I wanted to bring up to our listeners that we got from one of our listeners named Michael. The FCC put, whenever the FCC tries to or wants to change the rules or considering changing rules, they put out a request for comment. It's one of the nice things about the FCC. They ask for public comment about whether a rule should be changed or not. But according to this announcement, the FCC put out a request for comment on May 6th about the question of removing the requirement for mobile carriers, to connect 911 calls from phones that don't have an active account. You know, if you don't pay your phone bill, your phone can still call 911, which, you know, I even keep a couple of spare phones around in different places with a charged battery, and I stick a piece of paper between the battery so I can pull it out, and it'll just, you know, could last for years that way. And it's just an emergency phone. But I don't think the FCC should allow carriers to stop connecting calls from phones just because somebody stopped paying the bill. What do you think about this?
To be clear, Bernie, you mean they shouldn't just stop connecting 911 calls. Obviously, they're not going
to
connect, you know, calling your friends. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is worth thinking about because disconnected phones are commonly used to contact emergency services when they're needed because everyone knows you can, and it can be a valuable resource. There are organizations that collect people's old phones just to distribute them to people in need of that, for example, in shelters and things like that, who don't have the wherewithal to get their own phone hooked up, but they need a phone that they could call 911 on. And 911 itself came about because it was seen as part of the responsibility of the people who ran the infrastructure to provide the service that everyone needed and that was vital to society. And the people responsible for the cell phone infrastructure now should maintain the same responsibility, I think.
What is the justification? How are they going to sell this idea exactly?
How they're selling this? I'm looking at the call on federalregister.gov now for comment, and it's... Their summary is, the commission seeks comment on whether the obligation to transmit 911 calls from non-service initialized, or NSI, devices still serves an public safety objective. Because the cumbersome call validation methods extant when the rules were adopted are no longer in use, and because of the current ubiquity of low-cost options for wireless services, the commission proposes to sunset the obligation to
transmit... English, Rob, English. What the hell are you talking about?
They're basically saying it's a lot of trouble to maintain the ability for these phones to call, and they're also saying... Public safety representatives have indicated that NSI devices are frequently used to make fraudulent or otherwise non-emergency calls, causing a significant waste of limited public safety resources. So they're saying that because people can use these phones to call 911 when it's not an emergency, people shouldn't be able to call 911 from any of them, even when it is an emergency.
It's just astounding to me that this can actually be said with a straight face, that they want to get rid of something so vital and essential to anyone to have that ability. Just because it's too much trouble. Unbelievable. Well, okay, we have to get some more phone calls coming in because we've been talking for a while. 212-209-2950. We are getting some people pledging for the books as well. But why don't we run down everything that we're offering for the last few minutes of the show.
For the last few minutes of the show, we're still offering some copies of Teach Your Kids to Code by Bryson Payne, our guest last week. A great manual on teaching your kids to code and learning yourself in the process.
In Python, I believe, right?
In Python, yes. Yeah. We also have the book, and that you can get either that book or the book Beautiful Lego for a pledge of $55. Beautiful Lego is about... a compendium of Lego artwork that showcases all sorts of Lego projects that that are impressive and that are cool for different reasons and that you could do. $55 for either of those books or $75 for both of them.
Wait. 55 times 2 is not 75. What are you trying to pull?
I'm trying to say we're terrible at math, or we're just really generous with our contributions, and we need to get these books into the hands of people who want them for their donation to the station. I mean, we could charge, you know, double $55 for two of them, but that doesn't change what we're making, because we're not making any money on this. This is all donated, and we are just trying to keep the station going. And to do that, we need to offer these at a level that people will be happy to pledge at.
I mean, we should point out that if you think it's too good a deal and you would like to pledge more, we are certainly happy to take your pledge.
Absolutely.
And thank you for that support. Maybe you had a good month or whatever.
212-209-2950. Please call that number now if you feel this is what you want. And a lot of people wanted it last week. Apparently, we still have a few left over. So while supplies last, 212-209-2950.
Yes, indeed. 55 for either of those books, 75 for both, or for 70. The DVD, The Yes Men Are Revolting, when that comes out later this year, involving our guest Andy, who we had on for the first hour of the show, and The Yes Men. And for a pledge level of $125, you will get that DVD, plus you will get their previous two movies on DVD, plus you will get their collector's fake newspapers, and all sorts of other Yes Men goodies. They will be autographed by the Yes Men, and that will all go in a big pile to you as your thanks for supporting the station, for supporting the show, for doing what you can to keep this crazy experiment of WBAI going past 55 years.
Wow. 212-209-2950. That's our telephone number. Please call it now, and let's have a last flurry in the few minutes that we have left for this special two-hour edition of Off the Hook. We're not going to be on next week. We'll have a one-hour show in 2 weeks, but we won't be on at all next week. So I guess we're getting the hour from next week this week. Yeah, whatever. It works out. It evens out in the end.
Time travel
212.
Is not one of the premiums we can offer you. But
no, it's not. Definitely not. 212-209-2950. We want to see those phone lines light up so that we know people are out there listening to Off the Hook and caring about WBAI and interested in the things that we're offering, because we worked hard to get these. A lot of people have invested much time and energy in donating these to the radio station, and we'd sure like to see that accepted with enthusiasm. 212-209-2950.
And, of course, if you're not feeling like going for any of these premiums, you can still donate. You can go to give2wbai.org, select Off the Hook as the particular show that you are supporting, and there are some other WBAI premiums and other things that you can get. You can be a BAI buddy, where you donate a smaller amount on a monthly basis and get all sorts of other perks. And, of course, any contributions you make that total over $25, you're also a member of the station. You get a say in what goes on here. You get newsletters. You get all sorts of perks of being a member of WBAI. So call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org and do what you can to keep us going.
Only here will you be able to listen to stories like we've been talking about in the last few minutes about how hackers are being blamed for everything and how news stories simply are not getting the facts right. You won't hear that anyplace else.
And the buddy system's a really good way to know you're donating and you're involved, but you're not going to have to remember to make that commitment every time we have our fund drive. So that's a great way to incrementally contribute to the station over the course of a year or however long it is you choose to be a buddy of the station. Either way, we really do appreciate your support. And for this special two-hour show, we try our best to put stuff together people will be interested in, the stuff that's going on that's topical, that will be a draw. But the real important thing is supporting the station and the move here and our continued progress as far as bringing interesting stories and conversation to the hacker world and to the community.
212-209-2950 is our telephone number. Again, we're here for only a few more minutes, and we'd like to see a strong flurry at the end of the show. Our email address, oth@2600.com, if you have comments or things that you'd like to share with us, maybe you have some critique as to some of the coverage that we've been giving to various stories, please write that down. Send it to us. Maybe we'll even read it on the air. 212-209-2950, though, is our phone number. And right now, we hope a lot of people call that number and pledge support to the radio station.
You know, I have this news story here that we didn't have time to get into tonight. Verizon is going to buy AOL, and with it, the Huffington Post and Engadget and TechCrunch. And these outlets, you know, I don't love anything. I don't love everything that any of them has done, but they have done from time to time, like, good stories on net neutrality and the NSA and stuff like that. I don't know what's going to happen under them being owned by Verizon. I can tell you one thing that is not going to happen, and it's WBAI being owned by Verizon.
No.
They have no interest in buying us, and we have no interest in being bought by them. 212-209-2950 is the only way we can stay on the air. We are not going to get the big Verizon grant, folks.
Weren't we worried when Huffington Post was bought by AOL? What was going to happen to them then? And now AOL is being bought by Verizon. How much more can happen? I mean, eventually it's just going to be one or two companies, and maybe one will buy the other.
There are people working on these sorts of plans. I mean, not that exact plan.
What will we talk about then? That's what I'm worried about.
Well, one thing I think we forgot to mention is that your donation to BAI is tax deductible. Nobody mentioned that.
No, nobody mentioned that. You're right. 212-209-2950. Make your tax-deductible donation to the radio station and keep WBAI going for another 55 years.
That was the only other thing that I could think of saying. I forgot.
There were all kinds of other stories that we didn't have time to get to, and we can keep going about all of these things. But I think you get the general idea as to what we're about and the kinds of things that interest us. The one thing I really would like to do is take listener phone calls and hear what's on the minds of listeners. We can't do that right now. We don't have the infrastructure for it. We will. B, it's a fundraiser, so we can't because we're taking phone calls for the pledges. So make that investment. Call 212-209-2950. Make your pledge. And in a few weeks, we'll be able to take phone calls and have normal shows and get stronger week by week.
And you may always send suggestions to oth@2600.com. We like to take those suggestions seriously, and we sometimes even read them on the air.
We do.
Even if they're not so serious, we take them seriously. So make your suggestions and submit them, and we'll take a look, and we'll improve. Because, you know, we want to try new things here. This is a great new space. It's this... rebirth almost of the station, and if there's something we've touched on or other things you'd like to hear about or that you think we could cover, please let us know. I just want to reiterate that.
Yes,
because we're always up for good ideas that people have and things they want to share.
Absolutely. And thanks everybody who did call in tonight. If you haven't called in yet, please do so. Your every call makes a difference. Every pledge makes a difference. It all adds up to a number that allows us to continue to survive. And that's what it's all about, is surviving here on the FM dial in New York City. It's something that so many people said was not possible, and yet we did it, and we're continuing to do it. Here we are in a new facility in Brooklyn, and we're doing all sorts of other things that people say is not possible. And I think we're going to continue doing that. That's the hacker spirit. 212-209-2950. Bernie, any last words from you?
I just think it's great. We're all be able to be on for 2 hours tonight, and we won't be next week, but the following will be. And it's not too late for listeners to support WBAI. 212-209-2950. Thank you for listening and supporting the station.
Yes, again, thank you for that. And we will see you in 2 weeks at our usual time of 7 p.m. And personal computer people, either next week or the week after that, will be back here in WBAI New York. It's Emmanuel for Off the Hook. Boy, it's been a long night. We'll be back in 2 weeks, as I said. And we look forward to getting more calls and getting your emails and hearing your voices when we do take phone calls again. Until then, keep your eyes on what's going on and question everything. Let us know what you find out. Good night.
celebrate.
Gentlemen, on Friday, May 15th, the award-winning Midnight Ravers will present a three-hour marathon special from 12 midnight to 3 a.m. Join us for The Soul of a Man, a tribute to the legendary Harry Belafonte, in which we'll pay homage to Harry Belafonte and his legacy. So, mark that date on your calendar, in purple, tell a friend, tune in, and be sure to show your support. That's Friday, May 15th, 12 midnight to 3 a.m., for The Soul of a Man, a tribute to the legendary Harry Belafonte. Miss this one and hate yourself.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
On Saturday, May 16th, Malcolm X Commemoration Committee will join venerated elder and leader in the Black Liberation Struggle, Ealua Ferguson, legendary revolutionary poet Sonia Sanchez, the Reverend Herbert Daughtry, and a host of others in a tribute honoring Baba Herman Ferguson, who joined the ancestors last September. This spoken word and cultural memorial takes place at the historic House of the Lord Church, 415 Atlantic Avenue at Bond Street in Brooklyn. That's Saturday, May 16th, 3 to 6 p.m. For more information, call 718-512-5008 or email mxcc519@verizon.net.
And it is just a few minutes after 9 p.m. for the next. Don't be fooled. This is entirely live. It's Natural Living with Gary Null. Hello, Gary.
Hi, nice to be with you, Max. And for all the people who would normally expect their regular program, first, I want to apologize for you not being able to hear your program. We are in fundraising mode, and for the next 3 weeks or so, we'll be trying to raise money for this station. And we try to do it by offering premiums that resonate with people they're in alignment with the larger mission of the station, to be a voice for the voiceless and help people and deal with people's health issues. And so we have two health premiums this evening. The first hour, we're going to talk about cancer. And we're going to talk about it in a way that you normally wouldn't hear it discussed. And you're going to hear a couple people tonight, two oncology nurses, meaning they specialize in working with people with cancer in traditional hospital settings, and one for 40 years and one for 38 years. So they have a lot of experience. And one is a holistic nurse, now holistic, but was in the heart of orthodoxy for a long time. So we're going to give you a little different picture of what it means to go into a orthodox traditional cancer protocol. And then what happens when we look at alternative and more natural ways of helping the body in the healing process. Now, this is something very close to me because I lost my father to cancer, my older brother to cancer, and four aunts and uncles to cancer. And even my younger brother is still alive, but he had colon cancer. And unfortunately, I saw what orthodox medicine was not able to do, and I don't question either the integrity of the people wanting to help with cancer. I believe most truly do. But I do challenge the results. I don't believe people should be praised and rewarded and lauded and held in some unique esteem position for failing when the failure is death. And so we're going to talk about that. We have a lot of time to discuss this. Now, normally for 39 years, March 10th, it was 39 years, I'm on WBAI. And so it's a long time. Next year it'll be 40 years at this station. Always at noon, Monday to Friday, and as I am each day. And by the way, tomorrow's show is going to be a strong show in that my entire hour will be talking about vaccines, because right now in the state of California, where we have a lot of listeners, they are about to mandate vaccines for children, including the human papillomavirus vaccine, which has no science on its side and is very dangerous. Tens of thousands have been injured, hundreds have died, and yet every single child is going to have to take it. So I'm there as an advocate for the parents of injured children and representing independent science. And so Bonnie will be, Guns and Butter will be interviewing me for the hour. So on my show, I'll be the person being interviewed because our program was actually banned, kind of unique and interesting on Free Speech Radio, that KPFA in Berkeley actually said no to the program last week. So we're doing it tomorrow. So one way or the other, our message will get out on, so people have a better knowledge of the real truth about vaccine safety and efficacy. And just as I have been involved in working on cancer issues for a long time, a little background before we go to our premiums, which we have a hardback book, No More Cancer, and we have a 3.5-hour documentary, award-winning documentary, called Preventing and Reversing Cancer Naturally. The book is $75, the video is $75. All this money goes to BAI, by the way. And together, it's $125. But let me give you some background in case you wonder, why am I talking about cancer, writing about cancer? You know, what gives me any more of an insight in it than anyone else? I was a research scientist for 30-plus years at the Institute of Applied Biology. And one day, in the early 1970s, a man came to see me who I didn't know, never met. His name was Pat McGrady, Jr. He was a really good investigative journalist and a reporter. In fact, he was the bureau chief for Newsweek in Moscow. And he said, I've heard your radio programs on the politics of medicine, but I've never heard you do a program on the politics of cancer. And I said to him, well, I'm not aware of any politics of cancer. And he said, well, I am. And I believe that this sacred cow should be exposed. So I said, well, what story do you have? What evidence do you have? And he said, well, my father is for 25 years the head of public relations for the American Cancer Society. And he has a story to tell about the suppression of alternative therapies. So I met with his father, and his father and I spent a whole evening, about 5 hours, talking, and then he gave me lots of documents, and that got me into the entire story of cancer. And I spent about a year doing research and verifying my facts, and I had an article ready, and no one would touch it. Mother Jones, Harper's, Atlantic Monthly, East Village Other, all these publications that historically would take on different aspects of the establishment, nobody would take on the cancer establishment. And finally, our town newspaper